Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to full. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome in, everyone, to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. For those of you who are with us live, thanks for staying up with us. It was a late one out there in Sacramento, but Red Sox do get the win. 7-0, they shut out the Athletics. Garrett Crochet gets back on track, and the Red Sox finally are able to go out west and not embarrass themselves, unlike they did in Arizona this past weekend. I am Jason Kelly. I'm here with Terry Cushman, and Terry, I think the most important thing about this game was that, yes, you beat the Athletics, which you should be beating them, but Garrett Crochet looked like Garrett Crochet again, which I think we really needed to see that out of him.
Yeah, that was the one intriguing thing about this game is, can Crochet, you know, lock it back down and give us a performance that we saw just about every time out in the first half? And, you know, it seemed like a recipe for a possible disaster. You get a park that's not friendly at all for pitching. So if he's going to be home run prone, I think he gave up 4 home runs in his most recent start coming into this one. Not the place you want to be pitching, and this lineup can mash, but he reined it in. I think we found that they're somewhat of a all or nothing lineup. And, you know, Tyler Soderstrom, terrible numbers against lefties. A couple guys in that lineup couldn't hit lefties. So, you know, it ended up being the start that the Red Sox needed from him.
Yeah, big time. And, you know, the point about the home run ball is a good one, because that is, you know, it's not like playing at the Coliseum. That is a very hitter-friendly park over there for obvious reasons. And, yeah, they've got a lot of guys that have pop in their bats, but most of them are lefties, and most of them do better against right-handed pitching. You know, guys like Lawrence Butler, who, you know, they sat him tonight against Crochet, Soderstrom, who you mentioned, Nick Kurtz, who, you know, might win rookie of the year. I mean, he's, you know, super impressive, but I think his splits, you know, favor righties more as well. So they have a lot of good players, a lot of good, you know, young hitters, but they do struggle against lefties, and especially, you know, a power lefty like Crochet, he can really get them off balance. So it was good to see him just look comfortable out there. You know, 7 innings, 10 strikeouts. I don't think he walked anybody, did he?
He did not.
Yeah, it didn't feel like he really had any command issues whatsoever. So I thought that was really important, because, you know, you're already hearing the whispers from people saying, oh, you know, He's way over his career high in innings. You know, he's starting to break down. You know, we're starting to see Crochet fading here in the second half. And I know he faced a bad team, but I think he kind of answered a lot of those questions tonight.
It was interesting after he got through six innings, he was, 85, 90 pitches. And you're wondering, with a 5-run lead, is this where you rest him? You know, but what made that intriguing is who the hell's going to hold that lead? You know, you're potentially one inning before your 1-2 punch, which you're hoping not to use with Whitlock and Chapman. And I was just thinking, I mean, they could go to Bernardino or something. You know, he can obviously get lefties out, being a lefty pitcher. And but Cora brought him back out, and he got through that one more inning. I can't remember if that was where we scored two more insurance runs, if you want to call them insurance runs. But yeah, seven innings.
Yeah, it was right after he took him out that we tacked on the extra two, because then they were able to go to Zach Kelly and Justin Wilson at the end there and feel pretty comfortable with that, because at that point, the Athletics just had nothing. They had nothing going offensively tonight. So, and I thought, you know, good performance from the offense as well, because again, this is a team you need to beat up on. You know, they don't have good pitching. You know, any good pitching they had, they sold at the deadline. You know, Miller's not there anymore. And having, you know, some injury issues crop up here, it's nice to see that you can still have guys like Nick Sogard contributing. You know, Yoshida got a couple of hits tonight. Top of the lineup did its part, but it's good to see those guys who you're going to need to lean on a little bit. With Roman out, with Willier, you know, he should be returning hopefully soon, but who knows. But you're going to need those depth pieces to kind of step up and help you score some runs, and they did.
We did. And, you know, you had some, the ball did kind of fly out of the park. Trevor Story kind of got the party started there. Narvaez, who's been ice cold this most of the second half, also hit a home run, and, you know, some hits got strung together. Bregman, as well. So not sure if this game could be the spark that we're looking for, but coming into this game, I forget who tweeted it out, might have been Milliken, against the previous four starters we faced, we only put up one run against them, and all the rest of the damage was done against the bullpens.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's, again, it is Oakland, or, you know, whatever they're calling themselves, Sacramento Athletics, whatever. But it is still, you're in the middle of a long road trip here. And, like, especially this late in the season, these West Coast trips can feel really tough. Like, they really kind of drag for the players a little bit. So, you know, didn't start out great in Arizona, but you were able to, you know, sneak away a win Sunday. So to come out here tonight against the Athletics and put up a performance like that, obviously you have your ace on the mound, that helps. But I think it is a good sort of lift for the team to come out there and just say, okay, we are still way above these guys. And yeah, it's, you know, we hate being on the West Coast, especially this late in the season, but you're able to just get a nice, easy 7-0 win and kind of sets up the week, you know, pretty well for them. So I do think it was a good start. And I liked seeing, you know, the top of the lineup just wake up a little bit. Bregman had kind of been slumping. Duran's been hot and cold. So to see those guys kind of, you know, be the catalyst tonight, I thought really helped.
Bregman is the big story right now, and it's going to be interesting. Like, he needs to heat up to have a market. And I tweeted out on my personal account, which I don't use nearly as much, but I don't know if he can opt out. I mean, he's looking for 5 years, 175. I don't, is it going to be there?
I'd be surprised at this point. You know, in May, sure. You know, before he got hurt, he was definitely on pace to make himself more money and to be able to opt out and, you know, get a longer contract. But I thought the timing of that was interesting. And I don't know if it was his agent or him. They both decided to leak it to Passan, because at the end of the day, like, Passan doesn't just pull that out of his ass. Like, someone tipped him off, either Bregman or his agent or Bregman's camp or whatever. So I thought the timing was interesting because he wasn't playing well, you know, at that time. Like, he was, I think he was in a, like, 3-for-36 kind of slump. He hasn't homered since August 12th. So he was kind of looking like a down player. And, like, you know, we all can see, like, he's not running well. He's not playing at 100%. Like, he's basically playing on one leg. So I thought the timing was interesting. And, yeah, I kind of agree. Like, I wouldn't want to leave that money on the table if I were him. You know, if he opts out, yes, there'll be teams interested, but he'll be a year older. And even though he's set up to have a good rest of the season here with Boston, teams are going to look at him and say, well, you missed half this, almost half the season with this quad injury again. Who's to say that that won't keep happening? Because clearly, you know, the guy doesn't run well to begin with. So, but now whenever he does try to hustle it out, is that quad going to bite at him again? You know, his defense has been good, but is he going to win another Gold Glove? No. So he won't have as good of a defensive rating going into free agency either. So I thought the timing was interesting, and I do think what he's looking for has got to be something really specific. And maybe it's just he wants the longevity. You know, maybe he just wants a longer contract without opt-outs or whatever. He just wants a solid, you know, 5-year deal to carry him to towards the end of his career and have job security. But he's giving up a lot of money, I think, if he opts for free agency, because I don't think he'll get what he's getting here. Like, not even close.
Yeah, so one of the things I pointed out is, you know, he's getting $40 million this year, and I know some of it's deferred. But, I mean, he's basically playing to the level of a $20 million player. And one of my favorite cop-outs, I mean, you've got a small faction of this fan base that is Bregman or die. There's no such thing as consequences with bringing him back. And all 5 years are going to be amazing, no matter what we say, that's how they're going to look at it. And they essentially point out, well, you know, he's an assistant hitting coach and blah, blah, blah. And that's so valuable. You can't put a value on that. And one of our former co-hosts kind of came at me, and I said, all right, well, you know, Rob Refsnyder is a professional hitter, and, you know, he's a leader in the clubhouse. I guess he's worth $40 million, you know, with that logic. And he didn't respond to that, which, you know, it would be hard to at that point. I have unlimited sarcasm too, so maybe he also considered that. But so I'm not a big subscriber of that. I mean, he's a $20 million a year player. At least that's what he's given us right now. And if I'm right, and he's got $80 million on the table, it's going to take 4 years to recoup that $80 million that he just opted out of when he could have made it in two. And if he's as good as Boris is trying to paint the picture of, he can get that $80 million and then get a 3 or 4 year deal after that at a high annual value and still get most of what he was asking for this year. And I don't think he will. I think he's going to break down. Maybe he would be a serviceable player in 4 years, but I would play hardball and make him sit on the market and then sign him at your price again in February.
Yeah, the Red Sox should put themselves in a position of leverage there, because the thing that's going to hurt them a little bit is people are going to say, well, without Bregman, you don't have a third baseman, right? Which is true. You traded away Rafi Devers. You traded away Blaze Jordan, who might have been your third baseman in waiting, if you want to call him that. You don't have the depth down in the minors to replace Bregman if he leaves. But, you know, at that point, you just have to – Brezel's got to be a little savvy and say, you know, in response and say, well, you know, there's always a trade market. There's always guys that we could target out there, or, you know, we're also looking at this player, blah, blah, blah. Right. Because the whole thing about Bregman's like an extra hitting coach, I understand the sentiment behind it. He's a veteran. He obviously gets on really well with Anthony and Meyer and Sadon and, you know, Christian Campbell when he was here. That's great. But eventually Roman Anthony's not going to need assistant hitting coach Alex Bregman. he's naturally talented enough that eventually Anthony's going to get to a point where he says, yeah, I don't need to listen to you. I'm hitting 330, you know, with, you know, an OPS over 1,000, and, you know, you're on the shelf again with a quad injury. So, and, you know, not that like Anthony's going to be a dick about it or anything, but I just, there's only so much I want to pay for. Well, he's a good veteran. He gets on with the young kids. Okay, great. Does that mean he deserves, you know, $40 million if he's only hitting like 260 and he can't stay healthy? I don't think so. So I agree with you. Like, if he wants to hit free agency, if he wants to opt out, leave that $80 million on the table, fine. Go ahead. Because I don't think he's going to have a fun time over the winter. I think he's going to be one of these guys that, like, there'll be rumors about him. There'll be a lot of conversations about him, but it'll come to January 15th and he still won't be signed. And then the Red Sox can kind of peer around the corner and go, so you want to come back to the table and negotiate a little bit more? So I agree with you. Like, let him test out free agency. I don't think he's going to get the mega deal that he's looking for.
And as far as the aspect that he's this great hitting coach, you mentioned Anthony, and Anthony could be a generational talent for all we know. You know, we're jumping the gun if we're giving it to him now, but you put his Savant chart up with Juan Soto's, they look very similar. So, that's number one. Number two, how much did Bregman help out Christian Campbell? Where's Campbell been? He didn't really help Campbell out. I guess you can say he kind of helped out Marcelo Meyer, but at the end of the day, Marcelo Meyer was a platoon player the bulk of the time he was up here. And, I mean, his numbers weren't off the charts. So this whole thing that Bregman is this great hitting messiah, I think is a little bit overrated. How's Jaron Duran doing with Alex Bregman in the clubhouse? Like, who else is he possibly helping? Maybe Abreu, but I don't even know if he is.
Yeah, and these kids, you know, they all have access to the same technology that Bregman does. And they all, I think, have their own routines, right? And we heard about that, you know, it used to be that all the hitters met in like one meeting. And now they changed it like midway through the season. They're all getting individual meetings. So these guys all have their own preferences. They have their own ways that they study the game. I don't think Alex Bregman is the difference between Roman Anthony becoming a breakout star or not. I think it's a nice thing to have. It's nice to have a good veteran that stabilizes the clubhouse and, you know, gets along well with the young guys. But at the same time, like, do I think that if he leaves, do I think that, like, you know, Meyer is going to suck and Christian Campbell's never going to become anything. And, you know, they're all going to be sitting there lamenting the loss of their assistant hitting coach, Alex Bregman. No, I don't. Again, these guys have plenty of access to everything they need, all the advice, all the technology. Like, it's not just one player. It's not just one guy that does that. It's kind of a whole team. So I think people are way overblowing that. And at the end of the day, it's like, what kind of examples that show if he opts out? You know, he signed here, got really good money, and then decides, yeah, no, 1 year, I'm out of here because, you know, I want to seek a bigger deal. Like, I don't know. I think that sends a weird message too, especially when your team is fighting for a playoff spot. It's not like the Red Sox are first place in their division and up by 10 games where you can start to have those, you know, conversations about the offseason. Like, he dropped that they were in the middle of a bit of a losing streak and they're still fighting for a playoff spot. So to me, if I'm, you know, Anthony, Meyer, all these guys, I know they're on the shelf now, but I'm looking at that going, dude, where are your priorities? Like, we're trying to win ball games here. We're trying to win every single game we can. Like, we want to chase Toronto for the division and you're talking to Jeff Passan about your contract. Like, what the hell is that about? So to me, that's where the leadership part with Bregman kind of took a hit. For me personally, because it's like, that's a weird move. It's a weird time to do it. You know, that should have waited till after the season. It really should have. But he dropped it in the middle of a playoff race. So I don't know what to say about that.
It sounded like a desperation tactic to me. Things aren't trending well. If Bregman doesn't hit a home run on this homestand, especially in that joke of a ballpark, it will have been 1 month since he's hit his last one. So the writing, I think, is kind of on the wall there. And it's ironic that they're misplaying his market, because that's what Boris tends to do with players like him. I mean, he can get Juan Soto's of the world these record deals, and that's fine. And if he's got an ace pitcher, you know, under his umbrella, he'll get him a very good deal as well. But the Bregman guys are kind of tricky. And so there's just so much uncertainty if you're Bregman. Now, they'll have, it's like a 10 or 14 day window the day after the World Series ends, to where they'll have to assess the market really quick and then decide, is he going to opt in or out? Now, I've already made the case. I don't know how many years it's going to take him to recoup that $80 million that he'll potentially opt out of. But let's look at this other scenario. If he opts out, he risks that, but he also risks having to sign whatever the contract is with a crappy team. What if the Mariners... and I'm trying to think of a couple other teams. What if it's the Mariners and the Orioles coming to the table and that's it? So now you've lost your fun market to play in. You're not making as much money and you got to play for a crappy team. You have to think that that's part of what's on his mind right now. He wants to stay in Boston. He put the bat signal out there and the Red Sox haven't bit on it yet. And I think after freeing themselves up of the Devers money, I think they're praying that Alex Bregman will heat up to the point where he will opt out, so they don't have to pay him on the remainder of this deal. They would love to free up $40 million going into next season, which would be a combined $70 to $75 million if you take the Devers money off the books too. You know, the front office and ownership are rooting hard for that.
Oh, big time. Yeah, John Henry is absolutely rooting for that. He would love nothing more than for Alex Bregman to opt out, so he's free of that contract too. There's nothing Henry loves more than shedding payroll. So, yeah, he's absolutely rooting for that. And you make a good point. Like, everyone, you know, maybe Bregman assumes that his market would be really strong in teams like the Tigers, you know, who were interested in him last winter would be interested again, but they might pivot because he's not going to be the only free agent third baseman out there. Suarez will be out there. So what if a team like Detroit says, you know what, we'd rather, yeah, he's older, but he can hit 35, 40 homers for us. You can't. And Suarez can stay healthy. You can't. So a team like Detroit might say, yeah, we need that extra piece, but we're going to go with Suarez over you because even though he's older, we only have to pay him for like 2 years. He's not going to want a 5-year deal like you do. So, you know, other teams are going to pivot to other options. Again, the trade market always heats up in the winter too. There might be a third baseman somewhere who's on an expiring contract. You know, maybe a guy like an Alec Bohm gets dealt, you know, someone who has maybe run his course over there in Philly and needs a change of scenery. So teams are going to make other moves. Like, it's not like Alex Bregman is the only third baseman available. So yeah, it might come to a free agency and let's say the Tigers move on to someone else. Let's say the Yankees move on to something else. And actually they've already got McMahon. They're saddled with his stupid contract. So yeah, it could be a team like the Mariners who, you know, yeah, they're generally pretty good every year, but they're also just an automatic playoff out sometimes. And that ballpark would be brutal for him because it's a bigger ballpark. So for a guy whose power numbers are already starting to go down, that would really not suit Bregman well at all. And yeah, it could just be mid-market teams that come calling. And suddenly he looks at it and goes, wow, like, okay, I left $80 million on the table with Boston, a big market that has a good young core and is probably going to be in the playoffs next year. And I've got offers from like, whatever, you know, Cincinnati and, you know, lesser teams like that. So it's a very risky decision for him. But at this point, you know, even if he does go on a massive heater and he helps get the Red Sox into the playoffs and, you know, goes on a big run like that, I'm kind of okay with him opting out. I think you got to you know, put his feet to the fire a little bit. Say, okay, well, you think you can get a better deal out there, go nuts. And you know what? If he does end up signing somewhere else, then that's where the front office has to pivot, you know, and maybe do a Eugenio Suarez type of deal. Because you know me, I'm a big Suarez guy. I'd be fine with that. If Bregman signs like a six-year deal somewhere, you know, for stupid money, go get Suarez for 2 years. Like, I'm fine with that until you fill, you know, the gap at third base in your farm system.
I think I pointed out the last time I was on, you could have Eugenio Suarez and Kyle Schwarber for not much more than what you're paying Bregman this year. Okay. If you're going for value, that's good. And I also pointed out Kyle Schwarber, you know, he's a leader too, in a different way, I would say, than Bregman. But, you know, if Kyle Schwarber's in your clubhouse, everyone's going to be professional and everyone's going to be held accountable. You know, Bregman is more of the teacher mentor type leader, and you know, and that's fine. And you could have both in the clubhouse, and the Red Sox should be pursuing both. Like, both should be an option. You know what I mean? But having said that, I'm not paying Bregman a stupid deal, but yeah. And Suarez, I was just looking at him real quick. He got off to a slow start in Seattle, and he's only hitting .206, but he is up to 9 home runs with 22 driven in. So it looks like he's heated up a little after a cold start, and his on base is almost 70 points above his batting average. So things are trending the right way. It seems like Seattle is trending the right way. They've won 3 or 4 in a row. Looked like they could have been vulnerable with that third wild card, but the Royals lost tonight. The math is starting to get a little bit harder for them. Texas is still in it for at least another week or so. But where do you think the Red Sox are going to land? I mean, the math just strongly suggests they're going to get in, but I think they're going to be the third wild card when all is said and done.
Yeah, I think either second or third wild card. I just think that I don't see Toronto losing the division. I mean, their bullpen is a horror show, but they score a ton of runs, and their starting pitching, you know, if they can go deep into games, you know, they can mitigate the bullpen problem. The Yankees have unfortunately kind of heated back up a little bit. You know, Judge is healthy again, so I think they're going to keep you at arm's distance a little bit for that first wild card spot. So I think either second or third wild card. But yeah, I don't see them missing the playoffs. I mean, they'd have to really screw up for the, you know, next couple of weeks, and their schedule is pretty favorable. It's not too bad. I know they do have the Toronto series in there. They have the Yankees one more time. Or no, they don't have the Yankees anymore.
No, they do. Yeah.
They do have one more?
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, those will be tough, but the rest of the schedule is not that bad. There shouldn't be any catastrophe here down the stretch.
Tampa's kind of been playing pretty solid. We got them next week, and then you got Oakland one more time, and then you wrap up with Toronto and Detroit. And some people are saying, well, those teams will have the benefit of resting players, and I don't know that they will. You know, if Toronto can keep the division, they probably end up the second seed, the first seed if they go real hot here. So they're going to be trying to get that first round bye so they don't have to play that 3-game set. Detroit, I don't know what they have to play for. I don't know if the number one seed versus the 2 seed is important to them, because, you know, you're getting a bye either way. But I don't, outside of maybe skipping a Scooble start, which obviously we would love, I don't really see them dogging it. And actually, you know what? The Scooble thing shouldn't matter if they are getting a bye. I mean, they should be able to start him that first game no matter what. And even a game 2 start, I don't think is really the end of the world. He would still get 2 starts in that series. So, some teams have something to play for, and I don't think the Red Sox are really going to benefit from that.
Yeah, I don't see Toronto resting anybody. The division's too close. And with us and the Yankees kind of breathing down their necks, I don't think they can afford to rest anybody. They don't have really the depth to be able to do that either. Detroit, you know, I think you're right. They could maybe skip a Skubal start. Detroit's got to be a little careful, though. Cleveland's gotten really hot out of nowhere. Again, they had a weird thing where they sold at the deadline and got really hot afterwards. And they started swinging the bats more, which was always their biggest problem. So Cleveland is, you know, they're only 6.5 out. So it's not like they're a major threat to Detroit just yet. But, I mean, that division, like, everyone thought it was going to be Kansas City and Detroit going at it. Cleveland has kind of woken up here. So I wonder if they make it close. Like, maybe Detroit can't afford to skip a Skubal start because they might need that game, in which case that might be bad news for the Red Sox if it falls that way. But, yeah, I think that I don't think you get any resting. I think that those teams are all going to have something to play for at the end. I just think the Red Sox, like, they're in a good spot right now, and they've just got to hold their water. You know, you've got a 3.5 game gap between you and Seattle, between the second and third wild card. So that's pretty significant. So as long as you don't go on a massive losing streak, and really the Red Sox haven't done that this year. They do the typical thing where they lose 2 of 3. We all act like the sky is falling, and then they win, you know, the next 2 of 3. So it's like they kind of, it's like a seesaw thing with them, but I don't see them losing like 5 or 6 in a row. I think that's what it would have to take for them to potentially fall out of the wild card race. And I don't see it happening. Not with Crochet. You know, I don't think Bayo is going to look the way he looked the other night. I think he'll be just fine. Giolito is solid. So they're just too solid to go on that big of a losing streak. So yeah, I think second wild card is where I have them landing.
You could potentially have in the Yankee series, which is right after this one, as soon as the Red Sox come back home, you could, if you wanted to, have Giolito, Bayo, and Crochet pitching in that series. And, you know, it would be big to have those three because I don't think they'll sweep the Yankees under any circumstances. But if they did, now you are in that top wild card spot and you have home field advantage in that first round. So, you know, a lot is at stake here. I was listening to the Mass Live guys earlier and they think Tolley could start on Friday as he has the previous two Fridays. So I don't, it'll be interesting to see how they play that, but for the remainder of this series, I'm not feeling great about tomorrow with Dustin May pitching. He's going against Jeffrey Springs, who's pretty solid and has been for quite some time now, basically since we traded him to Tampa. He did have Tommy John one of those years, but he's since gone to, I can't remember if he went to the Giants before Oakland or not, but Tampa traded him 2 or 3 years ago, and he's having a decent season. We've got a bullpen game going on Wednesday, which doesn't sound great, but Mason Barnett has made 2 starts this season and got absolutely destroyed in both of them. 5 runs on 4 innings, 4 runs on 5 innings. He did strike out 8 in his last one, so I guess if Oakland fans are looking for a reason to be somewhat optimistic, he did punch a bunch of guys out. But I think the Red Sox probably drop tomorrow, but then win the finale.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think tomorrow it's going to be liftoff city because, again, that is a small ballpark, and you've got Dustin May going against some powerful left-handed bats. So, you know, Butler will be back in their lineup. Kurtz, Soderstrom, I think those guys are going to take Dustin May to the moon. So yeah, I think it's going to be a rough one tomorrow, but I do think you can salvage the series on Wednesday, even if it is a bullpen game. I think that, you know, this Barnett kid is not much experience behind him, so should be able to jump on him. You know, maybe it's a bit of an ugly game that you win 8-6 or something, but I think they can do it. So we'll see. We'll hope for the split because I'm with you. Anytime Dustin May's on the mound now, it's like, forget about it. That's a automatic loss. So hoping for the series split. But any other thoughts?
I think that'll do it.
All right. Sounds good. Well, We'll be back with you guys tomorrow night after the game. It'll be another late one, but appreciate you guys staying up with us and hanging out, talking some Red Sox. Hoping for a win tomorrow, but we'll see. If not, at least hoping for that series split. So everyone have a good rest of your night. Go get some sleep. We'll talk to you later. Take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.